Welcome to the Fully Express Podcast.
We're your hosts, Karenna and Samantha.
This show is your permission slip to stop holding back. Here, we talk about what it really means to live unapologetically you in your relationships, your business, and your everyday life.
We believe the most magnetic version of you is rooted in self-expression, honesty, vulnerability, and showing up fully as you are. When you own that, you naturally attract the people, the opportunities, and the life that is meant for you.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode. We're so excited for today's guest. Jessica is such an angel, such an amazing human, and one of our good friends.
This episode is so special because Jessica Walla specifically dove into all the different versions that she got to step into of herself as she grew as an entrepreneur, as a business owner, as a leader, as a change maker in the breathwork space.
Yeah, you're going to laugh. You're going to cry. You're just going to be amazed at the journey that this woman has gone on.
What I love about this episode is as you're listening to it, I think you're going to see yourself in the different versions that she spoke about, especially throughout her journey.
Jessica is a co-founder of Reset Breathwork. She's known for building community, making you feel truly seen and deeply felt. She really does. And giving the best hugs. Her journey began in 2011. She does give very good hugs. Her journey began in 2011 when she discovered yoga, meditation, and breathwork to heal from the daily grind, anxiety attacks, and epilepsy, which she can now say she is seizure and medication free. She brings together her background in psychology, yoga, and her work at Stanford University's Center for Compassion and Altruism, as well as with The Art of Living, and has joined forces with the love of her life, Dr. Corey. Together, they're known as the healing couple. You may have heard of them. And they've supported tens of thousands of humans all over the globe through their events, programs, and coaching, and have trained over 100 breathwork facilitators worldwide through their certification program.
With that being said, enjoy.
Hi, Jess. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me. I'm so excited for this conversation.
It's the second time that you get to be on the podcast. The first time was at the podcast party, my very first podcast party that I ever hosted.
And it was so good. Your guys' talk was so good.
Yeah. Thank you.
It has literally evolved so much then, and I know you've evolved so much as a person. So we just can't wait to get to know you as your entrepreneurship journey, and as well as like this gift of breathwork that you're sharing with the world. So maybe we just start there. Like, how did entrepreneurship really start for you?
Well, it's funny because I would have never have thought of myself as an entrepreneur. Like, that was not something that I set out to do. I never thought, if you would have asked like my 18-year-old self if I would have a business now, I'd be like, oh, absolutely not. Like, I would have laughed at that. So I didn't identify with that, but it just happened naturally. And it happened, I would say it started with my career paths before. I was in audience development, social media management. I was supporting a lot of other thought leaders, New York Times bestselling authors, many names that you probably know of. And I was the one that was like behind the scenes and supporting them with their book launches and supporting them with getting their message out into the world. And it was amazing. I mean, I got to work with some like the best of the best. And it got to a point where I realized like, I have a message to share too. Like, I want to be on those stages, and I really saw myself in them, and they show me what was possible. And it got to a point where it was just like this fire inside of me that I couldn't ignore anymore, because there was a part of me that's like, well, who am I? Like, that's more so for them, and I'll just help them along the way. But just got to the point where I'm like, I can't ignore this. It was just getting so loud. You know, when like a whisper turns into a roar, and it's like, you are meant to share a message too. And that's what just like pushed me to explore yoga and breath work and teach it to other people, like really take that stage and then start an Instagram account and then just share the things that have been helpful for me. And then when I met Corey, my partner, now fiance, he was really like the missing piece of the puzzle where he just like together, we were like, oh, we're meant to do this together. Like, you're the person that I get to like really spread this message of healing with. And that's where things really took off from there. And it was honestly just like listening to those whispers and those roars of like, oh, this is what I'm meant to do.
Did you know that was your message when you first kind of started hearing that call? Or you just knew that there was, like, did you know it was going to be breath work and yoga in that realm? Or did you kind of go into it exploring, like, maybe it's this or maybe it's this?
I knew it had to be with breath work, especially because it was the thing that had transformed my life the most mm-hmm. and had supported me on my healing journey, that it was getting to a point where I'm like, this is selfish if I don't share this with other people. Like, if it's impacted me so much, who am I to just like keep that to myself? Mm-hmm. I can give that gift to others, and I have to step into that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
I want to get to know the versions of you throughout your entrepreneurship journey. So, like, let's talk about Jess when she first started. What was she like? Like, how did she show up?
Yeah.
What was her focus? What was she into?
Yeah. So that was about in like 2016, 2017. And I was still showing up as just my Midwest self. You know, I'm a Midwestern girl at heart. And if you don't know anything about the Midwest, I mean, the stereotypes are like people pleasing, right? Like, don't stand out, just like very much like going with emotions and going with what's comfortable. You don't want to take big risks. You don't want people to like really notice you. You want to blend in. Mm. So I still carried that in the beginning where it's just like, you know, I'm like watching other people really be bold with their message. And I'm like, wow, okay. But I didn't quite know how to do that. Mm-hmm. And there was a lot of people pleasing in the beginning. Like, I wanted people to like me, mm-hmm. right? Like, I wanted people to like me, to like the message. I want to make sure that it resonates with everyone, right? So there was a lot of that mm-hmm. that showed up. And mm-hmm. and also even just with my time, I was just like saying yes to everything, and there weren't a whole lot of boundaries. And I mean, pretty quickly I realized like this is not going to work.
Yeah.
You know, this is not sustainable if I really want to be in it for the long haul. So things definitely had to change, but that Midwest girl was she had to find her way for sure.
When you say it wasn't sustainable, like how did that show up in your life?
I would say biggest thing was just how I was giving my time. Like mm-hmm. I was running around teaching a lot of classes and events, and we were filling our schedule with so much. Like there was so much like on the calendar and offering a lot of, you know, free calls and going over on calls, like just spending a lot of extra time because I believe that was like necessary. If like I just like give and give and give, then people will find me or what we're doing to be valuable, and realize and not really realizing like what I have to give is enough. Like I don't have to like stretch myself and just go so above and beyond where now I'm tired and I'm exhausted, but everyone else is benefiting from that.
Yeah,
so
it's
like, okay,
great. I
yeah.
don't.
yeah. Like that's not going to work. Like how can this be a mutual giving and receiving so that I'm not super depleted and that I can keep showing up for people? So I would say that was the biggest way that it showed up.
So how did you get shift from that? Or what was the next version? Who did you run into that?
Yeah. I feel like that's very relatable. Like yeah, to not totally. To have the lack of boundaries or feel like going over in time. That's definitely something I've worked through too, of just mm-hmm. like, oh, but I want to keep sharing this, or yes, they're really, you know, hearing me, but it is at the expense of your own energy. And I think you're right. Like long-term stability is impossible because you're just burning out all the time.
Totally.
Yeah. This makes me think of, you know, the bread of shame that David yes. talks about. And I think something that as a people pleaser, I thought, you know, I could give so much. And if I give them more than my hour, my 2 hours, it's like, well, maybe they weren't even ready for the extra hour that I gave
yeah.
them,
mm-hmm.
you know, like their soul wasn't actually ready to receive the extra hour of time that I was giving them.
Yes.
And versus just being like, what I gave was exactly what they needed to give within that hour. And that was enough for them to receive. And they got all the love and joy. And that was great. Because I think even, you know, I think as people pleasers, we're like, I want to give you everything.
Yes.
And everyone on the other mm-hmm. side is like, I want everything, but you don't even know how to integrate one thing. So I can't give you everything, you know? Yeah. And like realistically, like pulling that back seems like that was a big part of your journey.
Totally. And I think I was also just so excited, right? Like it's like, there's all these tools and all these things.
Yeah.
So like, it was just like this huge rush. It was like this dam, you know, had opened up and it's like, let me give you all this. But it's like, what I've learned over the years is like giving it to people in doses that they can actually receive it, mm-hmm. they can integrate it, and actually really meet them where they're at in their journey. Otherwise, it is total overload, and it is bread of shame. Mm-hmm. It's like then it's not even serving its purpose. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
totally.
Yeah.
So what's next? Tell us more.
Next. Tell us the next version of you that got found herself on entrepreneurship.
Next version was like, okay, I'm learning boundaries, right? Mm-hmm. I'm finding that middle ground. And I would say the next version of me was battling with scarcity when it came to money. And again, that was part of the Midwest nice in me and the culture of you don't want to stand out, you want to blend in, right? And so that also showed up with like money and material items. It's like you don't want to have too big of a house. You don't want to have flashy anything. You want mm-hmm. to blend in. And so there was a lot of scarcity, and I grew up in a family where money was very confusing. Like we had it and then we didn't. We had it and we didn't. And so I never knew as a child, like, do we have money or do we not? Mm-hmm. And it got to a point where I just learned to not even ask for things because mm-hmm. it was like it's probably going to be a no. And a lot of times it's like, we can't afford it. We don't have money for that. Why would you even ask for that? Like, I couldn't even, you know, get $20 to like go to the movies with my friends. So that really caught up to me in the earlier stages of business, where all this stuff came up for me, this wounding around money. And that showed up in what we charged, right? Like, am I really worthy of charging something that matches the value of what I have to give to the world? There were even messages from mentors of ours who were in the healing space, and they said, you can't make money doing this type of work, or you can't make a living doing this type of work. And so I had to really like battle with all these different beliefs around making good money specifically in the healing space.
Yeah.
Like, can you really make money helping people transform their lives with breath work, mm-hmm. right? And there's a lot of overcoming with that I had to do, so that we now, if I mean, fast forward, now we're a multiple six-figure business year after year. And I never thought those words would come out of my mouth. If you had told that version of me, she'd be like, no way. What? But it took quite a bit to work through that. And there was a point where Corey and I, and this was around 2018, 2019 maybe, where we were sleeping in our car because we couldn't even make ends meet. We couldn't pay our rent. And so we had to illegally Airbnb our little beach bungalow in San Diego. And then we would sleep in our car while other people were staying in our place, just so that we can be able to pay our rent and buy groceries, right? So it got to a point where I had to tell that Midwest version of me, right, that was so stuck in scarcity and lack, that this cannot be my story. This cannot be the way that I live. I can't be out here helping people and people outside on the outside thinking like, oh, you guys are crushing it. And here we are sleeping in our car. Mm. And I'll never forget the last time that we slept in our car, because we were about to go to sleep. We parked our car in Sunset Cliffs neighborhood, which, if you've never been to Sunset Cliffs, it's a really affluent area mm-hmm. in San Diego, beautiful homes right along the ocean, right? And we're like, okay, we found this perfect spot. We're going to park here for the night, and we're about to go to sleep. And this guy comes, we saw like headlights. He goes to park in his driveway, and he walks over because he could tell like, wait, this car doesn't belong. You know, they don't live here. These aren't my neighbor's, you know, vehicles. And so he walked up to our car. He peeked in, and I'll never forget like looking at him. And I felt so much shame in that moment of like, oh my gosh. And he was about to call the police and call us in and report us, because you're not supposed to be parked on, you know, in this neighborhood. And so before the cops get there, Corey and I like crawl into the, you know, the driver's seat and the passenger seat. And again, feelings just so much shame of like, how are we in this situation? Like, how did we get here? And Corey looked at me. He goes, we are never doing this again. Mm-hmm. and from a place of, I'm not allowing this. Like, we have to become something. We have to become different people because we've manifested this. We've attracted this. We've created this reality. So we get to become something different so that this is not our external reality anymore. And I knew he was serious when he said that. And it was true. Never again did we have to do anything like that. And we shifted to our next level after that.
Wow. Thank you so much for sharing that story.
Yeah.
I've heard bits and pieces of that, but I don't think I've heard the full thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I'm curious, like, hearing Corey say that, or in that moment, what did the next part look like? Like, how did you actually start to shift things in your business and the way that you showed up, like in the energy that you put out?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even if it, like, maybe didn't manifest into something great, but what did that next day look like? How did you show up next after that?
It was honestly repeating that over and over and over again in my head, like seeing and hearing Corey say that and really taking that seriously, not just being like, oh yeah, we shouldn't do that again. Or, you know, it was like, no, really, we're never sleeping in our car again. And taking myself seriously, because I think that before that, it was like, I wasn't treating our mission and our business that seriously. I was still treating it like a hobby, like a side hustle. And it's like, no, this is a business. This is a mission that's bigger than me, and I have to start acting like it. So it shifted the way in which we facilitated and we showed up at our events. And I think a lot of entrepreneurs, they want other people to take them seriously, right? We want people to respect us and the work that we do. But it's like, do you do that for you? Do you take yourself seriously? Do you respect you? So it started with that. And then I would say on a really practical level, we created a vision statement. And we even had that vision statement before we were sleeping in our car. But again, were we really taking it seriously? Yeah. It's one of those things that we were kind of just like set it and forget it. Like it just like lived in our journal, but it's like, let's actually bust this thing out. Let's print it out. Let's put it all over the place. Let's actually frame this, put it on our desk. Let's actually say it out loud every single day and really start walking the talk and living our vision right now.
Making it become your reality.
Totally.
Love that.
Because so many people talk about like goals and vision and vision board, but then it's like you do it in the new year and then it kind of just collects dust. It was like, no, we need to get present to this every single day and honestly retrain ourselves with how we were showing up and not just having it be this lofty goal in the future. It's like, it's right now. We're creating it in every single moment.
The energy behind that is so different. Something one of our friends, Inbal, Claudio, she has like a community for female founders. And the amount of times that she's having conversations with female founders, and like now she's opened up her community so much. She's like, just taking on that title is like, I'm a female founder. I created a business. I'm a business owner.
Yes.
Like that energy completely shifts. And I'm like, I'm just doing this thing.
Yeah.
Or I'm just, you know, I'm doing this thing. Yeah. It's so different in the way that you stand and the way that you be and the way that you speak and the essence that you share. And, you know, it doesn't come from other people giving that to yourself, giving it to you.
Yeah.
It comes from you giving it to yourself first. And in the return, you get that back.
Yes.
You know?
Did you create your own vision for yourself as well? Like, was that, or is just that shared vision that, like, what did you tell yourself personally to get yourself out of the place of feeling unworthy of the like dream life you were creating?
Yeah, that's a really great question. We created a shared vision because we do business together and we are together so much that it was like, we have to make sure we're both really on board with this and that it feels true to the both of us. So if there's anything that's like not feeling true for one of us, then it's like, let's regroup. But having us both be on the same page was really, really important. Like we both had to like be all in on this. And that was really key. And what was really helpful too early on in our business is understanding our human design types. And as I'm a projector and Corey's a generator. And so he just,
our first podcast guest was also a projector and her fiance was a generator.
And Chelsea was a
Chelsea's a projector and you're a projector and Nick's a generator. They seem to be a common pair.
It is the best combination, I have to say. And I feed off of Corey's energy so much. I mean, he is a generator, right? Mm-hmm. He's like the energizer bunny. Like, he just brings so much, and then I can work off of that. Like, I plug into it. That's how I feel. Yeah. Sometimes I literally have to just like touch him to be like, okay, just give me energy. I get to plug into it. And so for that reason, it was like, okay, like, he needs to especially feel this vision statement, because when he does, then I'm like, I'm unstoppable with that.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like it's even, if you talk about like masculine, feminine, he was creating a container for you to feel safe to step into your truest self.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
You guys like plugged into a wall together.
Yeah, totally.
He's like your energy bunny. He's like, yeah, literally, let me plug in.
Yeah.
And so what happened after that, where like you guys have literally, now are in a such different place, but mm-hmm. what kinds of versions of you did you step into next?
Yeah. Next, what came was confidence. Another thing that I was wanting from other people that I had to give to myself. And the way that that showed up was, our business was growing to a point where I was running a lot of it, and Corey was still working as a naturopathic physician out of a clinic in La Jolla. And he was doing that 6 days a week, also running an IV lab on top of that. So he was super busy. He was work, you know, he'd wake up at 4 a.m. in the morning, do charts, and then he would go full day of work, come back, be super tired. And then we're working on our business together. And it got to a point where I'm like, this is not going to work if we are going to really see this mission through. Like, if we want to be as big as we know ourselves to be, it can't work this way. Mm-hmm. And where the confidence came in was me being able to sit down with him and boldly tell him that this isn't going to work this way and that something's got to change. And the way that it looks for me is that you're all in, even just time-wise, in this with me. Like, there's got to be some way that you step away from what you are doing. Like, I need more of you right now. I need more of you right now. And for me to be able to, like, speak up and say, that was really big for me. Instead of, again, this Midwest version of me that's like, oh, it's fine. I can handle it all. Meanwhile, I'm like dying on the inside, right? And to be able to like tell him that was really big. And like, I need you and I can't do this alone. I can't do all of this. So that took courage and confidence, and to be able to cast this new vision of, here's the way that I see it, that like, you are able to step away from being a physician and that we do this 100%. And it took a while for him to really like trust that, because there was so much of his identity that was wrapped up in being a doctor and everything that led up to that, the medical school and the time and the energy that he's put in to, for him to like step away from that and then do this crazy thing called breath work and do that full time and make a living doing that. There was a lot of fear with that, but I really held that vision, and it took a lot for me to hold that for the period of time that I did. I had to keep holding it and keep holding it. And even when he was scared, keep holding it. Even when he's like, I don't know, but it'd be easier to just keep working at the clinic, keep holding it. And it got to a point where I said, we're going to have to create a contract of when you are going to leave. Mm-hmm. And creating a contract, us both signing it and having like a date where he is walking away. And holding that vision and that power was something that I'd never done before up until that point, not only in business, but in my life, to say like, I so firmly believe in this, and like, I got us in this vision.
Mm. Let's talk a little bit about holding the vision, because I think as an entrepreneur, like anything in life, especially entrepreneurs that try a little bit of this and try a little bit of that and, you know, go all in here, or like, you know, they get in the way of like, oh, it's not coming through yet, right? The miracles haven't happened. The money's not coming. The clients are in this. We're not getting these like instant receives. And so I think in general, just talking about holding the vision, like, it takes certainty and this level of commitment to seeing this vision as far as you can see it. And, you know, knowing when it's not meant for you, but you really have to at least give it a chance to anchor into it and be like, yes, this is what I really want or I don't want.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
A lot of certainty. A lot of certainty. And that has shown up even more recently. So if we were to fast forward to the latest version of me, it really is holding a whole new level of certainty, because there's something to be said about the early stages of business where everything is new and exciting and you're just trying a lot of things. And then it's like, can you still hold a vision 5 years later? And when you're 10 years in, and like, can you still stick with it and like stay in the game and really be in it for the long haul? So I feel like I am like excavating and digging even deeper to find like a new level of certainty, even like the certainty that I had when I held that vision with Corey of like, we get to go all in on this together full time. And I'm like, I'm having to revisit that version of myself and actually borrow from her, because it gets really easy to start coasting through business. Okay, well, you know, now I have a lot of things figured out, right? Like, I know what offers work. Like, there's a number of things that I don't have to like worry about that I did maybe before. Mm-hmm. And how can I dig deep to find certainty to go to the next level? What does that look like?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do you navigate knowing that commitment though? Because I think one thing that people, I think about this too, like, I mean, I was 5 years in to coaching and I knew that that version of coaching didn't need to look the same, but I needed to switch it into something else. I think sometimes when people are in this phase of like, I've been coasting, this is so great. Mm-hmm. How do you know deep down inside that building breathwork or continuing the way you guys are doing it is the commitment?
It's you say that another way.
How do you know that you want to continue on this path?
Like, how do you know it's still for you?
Yeah.
Or is that something you're asking too? Like, it, or not that it's not for you, but maybe there's a new iteration of it for you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's such a good question. I watch a lot of other entrepreneurs and we coach a lot of entrepreneurs, whether they're bringing breathwork into their business after they take our teacher training. And we also support other people who are a couple years into business and like, okay, like now what? And I honestly learn a lot from watching other entrepreneurs and seeing the temptation to jump ship and do something new, to go for the shiny object syndrome. And so it's just watching and observing what can happen when we get bored, right? Oh, I've been in the game for a while. I want that new and exciting feeling again. It's like a relationship, right? Like those first couple months, that first year, the honeymoon phase, like it's really exciting. The same thing happens in business. And so when things start to get mundane or we get so familiar, then we want to try to find that newness again. We want that spark. And so it's in watching people when they do jump ship and then they try something new and maybe there's instant gratification. There is some short-term success, but now they're back in the same place. They're like, oh man, why isn't this working? Mm-hmm. And I've just seen it enough where I'm like, that's just not what I want. I don't need to be chasing the next new shiny thing. I want to stay in the pocket. Mm-hmm. I want to be known for the work that I do. And if you abandon things too early, you will never be known for that. Mm-hmm. And I just have to continuously come back to, what am I really here to be known for? And what am I really here to do? And I have to keep reminding myself of that, especially when there's like tempting opportunities or things where it's like, oh, you know, we get all excited. And Corey and I have to really, and it's, I love being in business together because we can really check ourselves and check each other, right? And keep each other in balance. And so we have to check the excitement. It's not bad to be excited, but am I excited because this is something that's new and is going to take me away from the mission? Or am I really excited because this is actually in alignment and I get to go for this, right? We don't get too high. We don't get too low. Mm-hmm. So not getting caught up in that is really important.
Oof, that was good.
Yeah.
I love it. Yeah. The biggest thing I think about too is like, I don't know. I think about like, we all kind of reach our ceilings.
Yeah.
Just in life or even relationship or just like recommitting to it. And it's like, well, you know, are we trying to take something from our businesses? Or are we really just giving? And when you want to be known for something, you're also stepping into this, like, I want the world to receive this thing. Like, am I going to get out of my own way so that I can continue to give to the world? this beautiful gift that I so solidly believe that you said earlier was like, essentially, like you felt like it was selfish if I don't share this thing.
Right.
Like I can't get it to 100 people. Like what if I get it to 1,000? What if I get to 100,000? And I don't think the person, you know, a lot of people that are known for like the big things, like the big topics, they become an expert. Like they've been committed in doing it for years. Like mm-hmm. they love and research that mm-hmm. thing and share it over and over and over again. They get to a point where they're like, they have to remind themselves, I'm sure, like, why am I doing this?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm doing this because of this.
Yes. Yeah, it is
checking in. It seems like this is like your soul calling.
It is. Yeah. Yeah. And it's checking in with that why and that soul's calling. And that's my truth, right? And the other things can be a distraction or want to pull me away from my truth. And I have to connect back to that 21-year-old version of me that came across breathwork and the version of me that was so stressed and so anxious, and the version of me that was battling with grand mal seizures. And breathwork supported me so much that I have to connect back with her and remember why I'm doing this. And keep going. So it really is important to go back to the beginning and remember before you just jump ship. Mm. And now sometimes the answer is you have to pivot. You do have to do something else. But when I check in with her, she's like, no. You got to keep going because there's other versions.
Yeah, like, and I was just going to say, I think what you're speaking to, too, is that you can also find ways to bring newness to what you're doing, to your mission. Like, you can ask for guidance on, okay, I'm feeling burnout or I'm feeling bored in this. How can I shift it just a little to, like, stay on my mission but still call something new in mm-hmm. to bring some of that excitement?
Yes.
Yeah, Jessica Brugio was just talking about that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. She was like, I can't do online. I need it in person. I need to have a whole studio. I need to go into work. Like she was talking about just like playing these different ways on how to like activate her motivation again and like realizing that one way didn't work anymore or, you know, spicing it up, you know, mm-hmm. instead of just going down the same way. Like I think we do have a little bit of flexibility in that. It's like maybe the mission's the same and the outcome is the same, but maybe how we're doing it can change up a little bit just to like spice it up a little bit so that I can continue to anchor myself in my why.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like, how can I do this differently? Mm-hmm. Right. And maybe it's not even within the business. Maybe it's, I get to do it differently in my life. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes we can really look to our business, and I've been really picking up on this more recently of like, where am I making our business our God? Where am I putting so much pressure on the business that not everything needs to come from this? So it might just be a matter of, let me do it differently in my relationship. Maybe I need to spice things up in just the adventures that I go on and do it differently, that energy will then get reinfused back into the business. So looking for to other places for the answers of how we could do it differently sometimes.
Yeah. It doesn't have to come through the business specifically.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm curious, you know, when I listened to you speak on the panel the first time, obviously it was you and Corey together and I loved your conversation. And I'm so curious, like, how this evolved version of you has like impacted your dynamic together and how you show up. And from the girl in the car that, you know, was so in shame and vulnerability to like now this powerhouse of a woman sitting here in front of us, like how has it also affected your dynamic being in business together, relationship together, all the things?
Mm-hmm. A big thing has been desire. Is me really honoring my desires and sharing those and speaking those out loud to Corey and not belittling them and really allowing him, and this is in business and in life, in our romantic relationship, of expressing my desires so that he can fulfill on them and he can have that sense of providing, right? Which is so important. And it's really sexy, right? It's like, oh, you want this? Okay, let me figure out how I can provide that to my woman. And then we're both happy, right? Mm-hmm. And so it has really brought a whole new spark to our relationship, which again, it comes back into the business. And there were just a lot of moments leading up to the last couple of years that we were honestly just in survival, right? We were just doing whatever it took and just figuring it out. But now we're in this season of what do we like where else do we get to go? There's a lot of play with desire.
How can I play? Yeah. Like, how can I have a good time?
Yeah. Yes. You know? Yes. Mm-hmm. Because we've just taken ourselves so, I think, too seriously, right? And we've, I think for good reason in some respects, but now it really is just play. And it starts with me. It really starts with me expressing those desires, and then he can fulfill on those. And that's just been really fun. It's been a challenge for me. I think that's really my biggest inner work right now, is expressing knowing it's, yes. And knowing that it's, one is that it's even safe and okay to have desires. Because for a long time, I pushed those away. It wasn't even safe for me to communicate what I wanted. I just had to focus on what other people wanted.
Yeah.
And a lot of that stemmed from the way that I grew up, with having two deaf parents that I was taking care of a lot of time as a child. So very early on, I learned that like other people's needs and wants need to be met before my own.
Yours, yeah.
So there's been just a lot of repatterning just in the last like year, honestly, where I'm like, no, I get to have needs and wants and desires, and I get to share those with my partner. And it's been a really fun and juicy and sometimes really uncomfortable thing.
I'm like thinking about myself like in this moment, because I've had this like same healing journey in a sense. And like when they give it to you, you're like, wait, that just happened? And then when they give it to you just like without even asking, you're like, wait, was that a surprise? Like, can I receive this? Like, it kind of like catches you completely out of left field. Yes. When you have not been the first, you have not been the person to receive first, or to receive what you've been asking for, because everyone else, you're just focused on everyone else. So like, it doesn't, you haven't even, don't even know what that feels like. And just like the whole recalibration around that is, it's a journey, but I'm so glad that you're stepping into that confidently, it sounds like, and really speaking your desires.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it probably feels so good to be seen in all those parts of yourself that you hid for so long, because you were so focused in survival mode versus like, what do I actually want or need from my person? Instead, you're like, we just need to make it happen, you know, it's like A, B, C, D. And now you're like, oh, I have a moment to actually say, hey, actually, I want this, you know?
Yeah.
I love that for you. That's amazing.
Thank you.
Even from that panel to now, it's like, I see this just a blossomed woman in front of us. I mean, you were amazing then too, but I can just see the confidence and the growth of the journey you've been on.
Thank you. Yeah.
Which is why we wanted to pull that string.
Yeah. Yes. I'm so glad you did.
We love breath work.
Yes. I'm so glad you did.
We absolutely do.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about breath work.
Okay.
Now that we've talked about the juicy stuff, let's go to the the good stuff.
Well, I'm curious, you know, as we'll weave it into the story, you know, in general, like how has breath work been a standing piece in this transformation or this evolution that you've gone through in your own entrepreneurship journey and your relationship to Corey?
Yeah. So breathwork has supported me in so many different ways. I've watched it support tens of thousands of people that we've led, and I could go on and on and on about all the different ways in which it can support us. And I'll start with the relationship with Corey and I. When I was really committing more to my breathwork practice, it was very early on when we started dating, and I was getting into conscious connected breathwork, which now we've created our own methodology using conscious connected breathwork called Reset Breathwork. But I was dabbling in these other practices, and I'll never forget when Corey and I were doing long distance when we first started dating. I was in San Diego and he was in Phoenix, and we'd have a lot of late night calls because that was just the time that we were both available to chat on the phone. And I was sharing with him my breathwork experiences. I mean, moments where I was flying like an eagle in the sky, and I could like look down from like a 30,000, you know, foot perspective and just really see my life and see all these visions. And I was, you know, going through caves and all these things. He was like, hold up, like breath work?
He's like, what are you talking
about? Yeah, what are you talking about? What were you on? Did they slip you something? Like, I've done breath work. I've done Wim Hof. I meditate. I've done deep breathing and yoga. But like, I have never had experiences like that. And that sounds like my plant medicine journeys in the Amazon. And it piqued his curiosity. And so he dove right in there with me. And it was really beautiful because that happened so early on in our relationship that that it just sped up our, just the connection, the depth that we had. Like, we didn't just, you know, for a couple months or even a year, just kind of go surface level. I mean, it was just immediately going deep. And I'll never forget when we were in New York City, we were dating for like maybe 5-6 months. And the Uber driver was like, how long have you guys been together? We're like, guess. He's like, maybe like 5 years. And we're like, try 5 months. And he was like, really? Like, it was just like our energy was so, a lot of people said like our energy was married right from, you know, very early on. And I attribute a lot of that to breath work because it just cut through a lot of the bullshit. It allowed us to just surface and face the fears that we had in relationship. For me, like, it was really tough to be seen. I had a lot of trust issues. I was like, I can't trust men. I really can't trust anyone else except for myself. Mm-hmm. So that came to the surface, but we were able to not only work through it, but like breathe through it. And it just opened up a space that felt safe to be able to have these levels of conversation. And so mm-hmm. when we work with couples, even to this day, we're like, let's just breathe about it. Right. And then it just opens up. You let go of a lot of the layers that are there and a lot of the stuff that is in between us. And we can put that stuff onto the table and then we can look at it together as a team. And that's what breathwork's really allowed us to do, where we can put our stuff on the table and then let's work together to face that mm-hmm. instead of it have it stand in between us.
I love that. That's so cool.
Yeah.
And how about in your business?
It's been an anchor for me business-wise. And that's why we support a lot of entrepreneurs and business owners, because it's not just about the strategy and about just the action that you take, but it's also the energy behind it. And so it is it's an anchor for me, where I continuously come back to my breath to really check in with myself, to reconnect with myself and what's true for me. I really believe that it's given me the stamina to stay in the game this long.
Wow.
Truly. So whenever
I just want to say, I think that speaks to the human experience behind entrepreneurship that no one's really talking about, or that people don't get to see, right? Or like, if you're going through it, you're like, is it really this hard? Like, you know, am I running into this belief? Am I going to give up today? Am I not going to give up today? Am I going to keep moving up? Am I going to keep showing up? Do I keep showing up? Do I not keep showing up? Money's not coming in yet. Like, all those waves are a part of building a business. And it looks like, to what you were just saying, like, breathwork has been an anchor to help you navigate those I don't call them challenges, but just things that come up as part of being human. Like, it's not like it's a challenge, like, oh my God, your business has problems. Like, I'm saying no, just naturally of being human and moving through the world and creating something. Like, this is just a part of the process, and breathwork has been that anchor.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with you when fear and doubt comes up. We all have it. And a lot of people are really good at pretending like it's not there. When you look online, you're like, wow, like, they just seem to have it all together. Like, how is it? They just seem so confident naturally. And even our clients will say it to us. I'm like, no, it's not natural. It's something that I work on all the time.
And I think it shows up in relationships, especially too. Like, I think when you see a strong dynamic and a strong relationship between two people, it's so easy to be like, wow, they just have something, they have magic. And yes, that is in existence, but also there's plenty of fear and doubt. Like, when you've been with someone for a long period of time, there's definitely days where you're like, do I still want to be with this person? I don't know about him today, you know? And I feel like it's not spoken about enough sometimes, that that's normal. That doesn't mean you're with the wrong person or it's not meant to be. It's just like, those are human feelings of like waking up. And sometimes you're like, I don't even want to be me today.
Yeah. For real. I realized how often if I didn't have breathwork as an anchor in my life, how much more stuck I would be, right? Mm. I would probably just get stuck and be stuck for longer periods of time. Mm-hmm. So instead of being stuck for days, for even like weeks or months, which I watch entrepreneurs get in that, and then they're just spiraling and they're just getting in their own head and they're just like, why isn't anything working? And questioning everything. What if I was only feeling stuck for a couple hours and then I breathe and I move through that shit and then show up as how I know myself to be? So I just don't let myself hang out there for too long. And breathwork helps me move through it way quicker.
Mm.
Yeah.
So good.
I love it. I love breathwork. I think I agree with you. I think it's one of the most powerful tools, especially as someone who has a very active mind. Like, sometimes meditation is not the way for me, but breathwork every time puts me, even if it's 5 minutes, puts me back in my body. But it's so interesting. Like, what do you speak to the people who Like, I still know how good it is for me, but I resist it, you mm-hmm. know? And I'm just like, I'm going to, I don't know, not that I'm purposefully wanting to sit in the discomfort or in the manicness or whatever, but, like, how do you get people through that, like, making it a habit or really, like, bringing it back to that? Because for you, it clearly is an anchor and you've made it a habit. Mm-hmm. Like, how do you get people to that place?
Showing them the other side. So it's like, okay, you're not wanting to do breath work or you have resistance to it. So then then what? What's the alternative? And you have to like really paint the picture of the alternative. Do you want to stay stuck? Mm-hmm. Do you want to spiral? Do you want to overthink and be in your head? Do you want to be questioning? Like really just painting honestly the pain of what happens if you don't commit to this or with like anything. It's like working out. Do I want to get my ass in the gym?
Yeah.
In when it's, you know, I live in Phoenix, Arizona. We have a gym in our garage and it's 100-something degrees in the morning. No, I don't want to do that some mornings. Like, but I do it anyway because I have to look at what's the alternative.
Yeah. What's the benefit comes on the other side?
Right.
I also think there's like a relief, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I think if you think mm-hmm. of the chaos that you're in and you realize, mm-hmm. I'm like, okay. Like, I think about this with, like, feelings, or for me, it's, like, talking things out loud, whatever, I'm going through something, and you're in that spiral, chaotic, internal world. Mm-hmm. It's, like, that doesn't feel good.
No.
So how can I get myself out of it? And I think when you start to find tools like breathwork or the tool that works for you in this situation, it's breathwork, like, you're going to navigate to that. It's, like, okay, great. I'm going to have that. It's like, if you have a headache and you know, you're not drinking out water, are you going to drink water or not, or keep the headache?
Yeah, exactly.
And I think about that with our emotions and our feelings. So it's like the same thing. It's like holding to the vision is what you're really mm-hmm. talking about. It's kind of painting the vision of what's on the other side of doing the breath work. It's like, yes, you might not want to do the breath work experience and you might be stuck in your own process, but like, what if you can get through this process that doesn't feel that good
mm-hmm.
much quicker instead of going on it? And I think people that have been in the shit for like days or weeks or months, you know what it feels like, that just that compound effect. And it's just not, it's not fun.
No.
So gravitate to the tools that work really nicely.
Yeah. Both options are going to be hard in their own way. So yes, there are times where breathwork is really hard. You're going to have to face things that you haven't been looking at. We say that breathwork is like a mirror for your life, and you are going to look directly into the mirror and look at yourself, your own two eyes, and you're going to see what you need to see. And I always trust that the breath will show you that, whatever you're ready to look at.
Totally.
And that's not easy. And yeah, so a lot of clients, when they're just like, oh, I don't want to have to go into the resistance again. I don't have to like face the fear. And okay, yeah, that it's going to be hard. Let's not sugarcoat that. But it is also hard, the alternative of, you know, being in the chaos and staying in the plane. So you have to decide. You have to choose your hard. Which hard do you want? And for me, I'm like, when you put it that way and you give me those two options, I'm like, I'm going to choose the hard of breath work.
Yeah. Because it feels so good after.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can you share, I'm really curious, like either personally or a client, like a transformation, like what you saw when you either witnessed them go through your course or your breath work experience, or for you personally?
Because
I love transformation stories.
Oh my gosh. I have so many. I mean, we've guided literally tens of thousands of people all over the world, online, in person. The stories are, they still to this day, like, bring me to my knees. I'm always left in awe. There's so many miracles that we've witnessed, things that we can't even explain. I've watched women who have been in marriages for a number of years, and in just a few sessions, they're like, my husband doesn't even recognize me anymore, in the best way, where their husband is telling them, like, who is this woman? Like, I feel like I got a new wife. Like, this is so amazing. You know, these women that are just glowing and that are confident and radiant. I love seeing that. We actually were just working, we've been working with a couple who they've been married for 10 years. They've done a lot of work. They've done a lot of meditation. They've been to all the personal development seminars. They've got the tools, mm-hmm. right? And they're like, we're still stuck. And mm-hmm. we just can't seem to see eye to eye. They have children, and mm-hmm. there's in a really hard season. And in just three sessions working together, they're like, our kids are showing up differently. Our kids are like so playful in the way they interact with us because they're picking up on their energy as parents. And they are, after not sleeping in the same bed for years, finally co-sleeping again. They are creating so much momentum in both of their careers, whereas before, like, one of them was killing it, the other one was just kind of dragging it, and then that was causing a lot of conflict. So just to see that they're on the same page, they're like, we have so much momentum. We feel like the dreams that we've had together, like, they're actually starting to happen, like the house in Sedona and these things that they've been really working and grinding towards. Like, it's like now it's just happening. And I love seeing that. And everything from that to also how it's helped people with their physical health. We've heard time and time again people coming out of just one session, they're like, I'm in no pain. And people who've been in chronic pain, fibromyalgia, we had a very elite gymnast come to an event of ours. She had never done breathwork. She's like, I have no idea what I'm getting into. And she came out, and we like to give people the mic to share their experiences. So we take a couple shares from the crowd at our events, and this woman, she was in the front row, and she raised her hand. She wanted to share, but then once it came time to share, she, like, the words couldn't come out. And she's like, I just need a minute. Like, I'm in shock right now. And we gave her some time to find the words, and she's like, I have the joints of like an 80-year-old, and she was in her 20s, maybe early 30s. And she's like, I live in pain every single day. I can't remember a life where I wasn't in like crippling pain. And she goes, there is zero pain in my body. Wow. And she goes, I feel, you just see the smile wash over her. She's like, I feel so good. And I just want to stay in this. Like, she's just looking around like, I can't believe that I can feel this good. And then just like, you know, tears just start streaming down her face. Aww. And it's like, just to see that.
I know. That's awesome.
After years.
Wow.
Right. Of this thing that she really loved, gymnastics, but it took a complete toll on her. So whether people have allowed physical pain to take a toll on them, their business is taking a toll on them, like there's things that are taking a toll on them in their relationship, to see the weight that lifts off of people is the greatest gift, and honestly is why I continue to show up. It's these stories, it's the people that we support that make me want to keep going, because everyone deserves to feel that good.
Absolutely. That's amazing.
Yeah.
I'm so glad you always ask that question. I love a good case study. It just also, it kind of brings it all together so beautifully. So as we start to wrap up, the question that I have for you is, where in your life are you feeling called to be more fully expressed? Life, love, or business? Anything. Where are you being called to be more of you?
I am really feeling called in this season to be more of me online. I realized that I was doing so very early on in our business because I felt that we were talking about like things are so new and exciting, and I'm just like, I have all these things to share. And then once it was like, oh, this is a real business. I'm a CEO. Like I started to put a lot of pressure on myself, and also pressure on the way that things had to look. Oh, if I'm running a business, it has to be this way. And so it dimmed my light when it came to showing up online, because there's been a lot of overthinking of how to package things and how to present it so that people continue to take us seriously. And every time when I let that go and I just share what's on my heart today, that's what resonates the most. I have to continue to remind myself of that instead of trying to make it this thing with a perfect bow on it.
Yeah. Yes. Perfect package.
Yeah. So showing up online and on social media.
I love that. I think we're all trying to call that in right now.
Yeah.
We recently launched a 21-day challenge to become more fully expressed. Yeah. And a lot of the intentions in the group are, I just want to be more me.
Yes.
Or they're entrepreneurs that have been going through it for a long time. And then they went through the season of either like the dark night of the soul. And they're like, I don't even know how I'm going to present myself anymore.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes. Yeah.
And so I think the evolution of the more of that evolution of like, how do I just continue to be me? And I think social media, especially Instagram, I'd say, if you guys aren't on TikTok yet, try TikTok. But Instagram has its way of, has to look a certain way. Mm-hmm. This is, it's all structured and specific. Like we were talking about last time we were hanging out, like mm-hmm. post by this time, could be this thing, it'd be that thing. And it just takes away of like, well, who's Jess? Who's Karen?
Yeah.
Who's Samantha? Mm-hmm. And I think ultimately people are craving that more and more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not letting the algorithm dictate how I show up. Mm-hmm. And I see where I've done that. Right.
I think it's so common to do that. Yeah. I think it's hard to
feel
into the energy instead and just post what's on your heart and trust that the people will find it. And mm-hmm. that when there's an algorithm, yeah, it's like a whole nother ball game. You're like, but will it get the numbers and will it get the reach and all these things? But I do still believe in the foundation of you attract what you put out. And if your energy is like, this is what I'm feeling, you'll get those people.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And people are craving authenticity.
Yeah.
You know, more than anything.
Yes. Yes. And we bring that into the rooms that we curate, right? Whether it's in our teacher training,
you're
it's
doing
in the
it
programs
right now,
right? Now, right? So it's just taking that
and translating it to social media.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then trusting that who's meant to receive it will.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love Amen. That. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, thank you for such an amazing conversation. Mm-hmm. I'm like so excited that we decided to pull the string of getting to know the versions of you, and mainly because it was just like so rich. And I know breathwork was like a big part of that. And it's just so nice to see who you are today. But also I'm so excited to meet the Jess 5 years from now.
Yeah.
A year from now. 5 years from now. Like, I'm so excited. And, you know, we'll have you back on the show to talk about that too.
Can't wait to see what's next.
Mm-hmm. Me too. I'm excited. Thanks, ladies, for having me. Truly.
Thank you so much for tuning in. We really appreciate you being here. If you enjoyed this episode, we'd be grateful if you could leave us a review and share it with a friend.
Also, we would love to hear from you. Reach out to us on Instagram and let us know where you feel inspired to express yourself as you embrace this next era. We are here to support you and encourage you.
Before we go, we want to remind you that you are powerful and deserving of fully expressing who you are. Embracing your journey toward authenticity is a vital part of that process, and we're grateful to be alongside you. If you're looking to dive deeper and connect with others who celebrate their true selves, we invite you to join our community. It's a virtual space for connection and accountability where you can share experiences and grow together. You can find the link in our bio. We can't wait to welcome you.
See you on the next one.